Welcome to the daily VFN radio program highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, I'm telling you, we're seeing some things happen, and there's a strategy going on that we have to pay close attention to. You know, if you're at rest, you know, and thinking, oh, because I'm tired, that my adversary's not going to be, Satan's not going to be working. He's working day and night. You know, he's it's amazing, you know, the strategies and the things that are going on. And what he does, he puts lies and motives in people's hearts. And they work overtime using their authority that they have in their bodies to be able to do his will. They're held captive to do his will. And one of the areas that we're focusing on, you know, that there was an article that just came out, you know, on CBS News. And they talked about, it's entitled, As Gender Roles Change, Are Men Out of Step? Oh. Yeah. Pat's eyebrows went up. Y'all didn't see that. And the whole article ends with this statement, and you kind of understand what it's about. It ends with, well, no, it doesn't end with it. Yes, it does. It ends with it saying, let's throw out boys will be boys. Let's just throw it out the door. It doesn't serve us anymore. And, you know, I just want to briefly talk about, and you can see this article on the VFNTV blog. Just go to VFNTV.com and go to our blog. And they're just beginning to talk about the relevancy of masculinity and saying that it's outside, it's not relevant anymore. And that, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, as a matter of fact, 70%, this is the article, 70% of valedictorians are now actually women graduating from college. He talks about, you know, years ago, one of the men being interviewed in the article, he says that years ago, I would ask the women in my class, you know, what does it mean to be a woman? About 25 years ago, he would ask, you know, what does it mean to be a woman? And they said, well, you have to be nice and pretty and smart and smile a lot. And now he asks them, he says, you know, what is it like to be a woman? And they said, you know, I can do anything I want. You know, I can be anything I want, which is pretty cool. But then they asked the men. They asked the men 25 years ago, and they said, you know, what, you know, who do you want to be? I mean, what do you, and they said stuff like John Wayne, you know, or, and today they're saying things like, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, they're not saying, he goes on and says, they're not saying hasta la vista, baby. Mm-hmm. But they see things totally different. As a matter of fact, today they're saying that boys think that academic disengagement, they think that this is a strategy of second heaven. They think that this is what that's being believed now. Boys think that academic disengagement is a sign of masculinity. Man, I'm tough. Look, I don't even know what that word means. You know what I'm saying? Like, they think that academic disengagement, this is their article, and you can see this on the VFNTV blog, is a sign of masculinity. I'm like, look at me. I'm stupid, man. Look, I'm the man. Mm-hmm. I'm the man. It's like, can you spell, man? And so they go on to say, the less you can do in school, the less connected you are, the less interested you are, the more manly you are. Mm. And you know, a lie is when they take something and tell you something that's not true, by the way. This is not true. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to have to, you know, balance your checkbook. You're going to have to fill out your application for work, mm-hmm. you know, and understand that the economy right now is shifting. It's shifting. And a book that I was introduced to by maybe John or somebody, I don't know who it was, but it's called The World is Flat. And I read it some time back. And all these predictions of this man, hopefully we'll put that up on the blog today, if you remind me that get that up on the blog, the world's flat. But it talks about the economy is shifting, and you have to shift in America, that we're going to have to raise our education levels so that we can function in this new economy because of the low wage labors of India, the low wage cost of China. Those type of jobs are going to go that way, and they're not going to be as relevant, you know, in our in America and so or North America, and so you have to be to raise your education level. You're going to have to be smarter. You're going to have to go, you know, learning curves. I can relate to anybody who's talking about learning curves. Like, oh great, here comes another learning curve, right? And but you know what? If you push, if you do what it takes, if you do what it takes to go through the learning curve, even though it's painful, even though it requires something for you, you're going to have breakthroughs in your life. You're going to have to learn is that, you know, masculinity is not defined by ignorance. You know, the enemy is lying to our men and our young men and telling them that, you know, not being smart, not investing in your education, not paying attention in school, that all of a sudden that makes you cool. That don't make you cool. It eventually makes you a prisoner. I mean, you're going to be a prisoner, if not actually a prisoner. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to be a prisoner of your choices in the long run, and you're going to struggle your whole life and in that. And so it goes on to say in the article, and she's concerned about in this article, you know, that she did a particular post on it, but it was amazing. And you can see this video. I have a video for you. We posted a video for you on the blog. You got to see it. You just got to see it. But this one particular, as they go, Lisa Mundy says in it, Mundy, she says a different Mundy, I think that masculinity is more flexible than we give it credit for. I think that our ideas of what masculinity is, is changing. Mm-hmm. Well, it's what God says it is. You know, it's not, we can't just, that's what we keep doing. We keep changing things. And one sign of an end of a society when it's coming to an end, a culture, and by the way, we only have, 300-something million people. There's 6 billion people in the world. There's more of them than us, America. We need to wake up if we want America to be hanging around. And so is the breakdown of what does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a woman? And it's been really confusing. You know, it's been really confusing as fatherless generations have been coming up. You know, you have a young man that's been raised by his mother and with his sisters. You know, she's done a good job of doing that, but that's a feminine aspect of it. He goes to school and he's taught primarily by female teachers that are there, and his whole influence is in the area of that. And so he begins to think about, I mean, he doesn't have any grit for masculinity and that type of thing. And so they tell him and teach him, this is what it means to be a man. And so they have school systems set up that are primarily for female learning. You know, men learn better in the practicum and the on the job type training and movement and that type of thing. And women can learn by just sitting there and being polite and absorbing the knowledge that's going on. They're doing a great job. 70% of the valedictorians are ladies, but the guys, they kind of clamp up in that environment, especially if this mindset is being promulgated now that actually you're cool if you don't do your homework. You know, you're cool if you don't carry books home. By the way, you know, Elijah's carrying home iPads. Yeah, he's 12 years old. You know, they gave him an iPad. John tells me he got an iPad. Give you a shout out this morning. Elijah. Wow. And from school, so you don't carry books, you carry an iPad home for the homework and all. Isn't that amazing?
Amazing.
And so, and it goes on, and you see this. You're going to be blown away when you see this article, and they are the strategy is this, that they are pushing away what it means to be a man. You know, what it means, you know, masculinity, aggression, you know, that bravery thing, you know, all those different things. You know, I want to go into that part of that right now, but to understand that it's out of place in this particular society. And I really believe, this is my personal belief, that a lot of people are trying to find it. They're trying to find what's inside of them, you know, that says, you know, because I feel I don't have it, I'm trying to find it in others. And that's where fathers can come in. You know, fathers can come in, and if your natural father wasn't there for you, then you can find a male mentor, or you can find a spiritual father in the Lord that will give you some grid. Some grid means on a map we have latitude and longitude. It'll help you begin to relate. What does it mean? I remember when we were doing one of our Next Step Outbacks, now it's called, our Father and Son Camping Adventures, and we had all these, you know, boys and fathers out there, and there's this fatherless boy, and I was sitting by the campfire that night, you know, just worn out. I was in the middle of one of our events, and the fire's going. It's at nighttime, but yet the moon's bright, and the fire is, you know, going, and I'm just sitting there by myself, because people are sitting around the fire, and I'm just glad to be sitting down, and this little boy climbs up me, you know, he climbs up, he's probably about I would guess seven, maybe like younger than that. I don't know. And he climbs up my leg, you know, gets in my lap, and he sits there, and he just looks at me square in my eye. He don't say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He don't say anything. And then he lays his head on my chest.
Oh, wow.
And he lays his head there for a while. You know, I'm like laying, sitting there dead on that chair. and you know, we're all sitting around the fire or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then he leans his head back and he looks me in the eye again.
Mm-hmm.
And then he lays his head back on my chest again.
Wow.
You know, and I understood that.
Yeah.
I understood. He needed a grid. He needed to know what it was like to be close to a father. He needed to feel, you know, he had all these things that people say, and maybe, and there's a lot of people speaking bad about the child's father, and he will eventually be a father himself. And so he's thinking that I'm being looked down upon. And he did that. And it was just this amazing encounter. I'll never forget it because I was like, you know, you're at wit's end. You're thinking, oh, what am I doing? And then when God did that, he touched this boy's heart and he did that to me.
Mm-hmm.
And God was just showing me,
mm-hmm.
you know, I remember another young man that, you know, we got to help. Listen, man, you know, we got to stop chasing our dreams and start chasing God's dreams. We got to, and if you don't know what it is to be a man, find out. You know, don't be ashamed of that. Find out what it means to be a man. You know, find somebody, you know, don't let the world define what it means to be a man. You find out what God says about to be a man. Men are not perfect, you know, but you know, men are men. And and this other particular young man, and I was there one of those weekends that we had, you know, with all the fatherless and the mentors and all. And a young boy by the name of Roderick.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh man. I just love Roderick. I love him to this day. He's just a beautiful, beautiful young man. And he came running to me. God was moving. His presence was so strong. You can find out more about this if you go to yournextstepoutback.org or greglancasterministries.org. You can find it there. But so Roderick comes to me, and he just throws himself in my arms. You know, I'm sitting on the edge of this plywood type, because we're in the wilderness type mm-hmm. stage. And I'm just holding him, and he's crying, and my shoulders just fill with his tears, you know. And he says, "I just don't know. My father's in prison. I've never met him, you know, and I've never had a father,
mm-hmm.
you know." And he was able to be. I was able to intercede and show him, you know, that you know you can get a grid,
mm-hmm.
you know, and. You know, the problem is this. I remember, you know, historically that there was a situation where a minister was wanting to, and he was fatherless himself, and he was seeing there was a big need for mentors in his gathering, his mm-hmm. church gathering. And so he had a men's breakfast. He had a men's breakfast, and he said, you know, all the men come out there, and he was going to introduce at that particular time. This concept that we're talking about now. And so he shares his testimony, how he had somebody in his life. And then he says, okay, everybody that feels like you need, you know, a mentor in your life like that. You need some, you know, what we would say more of a spiritual father in your life. Somebody mm-hmm. you can get a grid from in God and masculinity and all that. And I want you to come to the front of the room. There's probably about 200 men. You come to the front of this room here, and then those that don't, you can stay seated. And all but like two or three of us, you know, came, and we're sitting at the table and realizing, you know, almost 200 men just went to the front, and every man feels like they need somebody.
Yeah.
You know, and then this particular one who was leading that just walked out the door and left these fatherless, you know, gridless, wow. with no grid men, because I believe that, you know, he didn't have it, you know, mm-hmm. it's just, you know, what people need, but it's like, I can't give it to you because I've never had it. And it's not, you know, I can't give you what I don't have. And it's not my fault that I don't have it, but I can get it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had like, so these, all these, you know, men mm-hmm. you know, standing rejected in front of a room. Why the men that actually stayed at their tables, the couple of them did, the only reason they stayed there, because they didn't want a part of any of, they didn't want to father these guys. They didn't want to mentor these guys. And so they were all just left standing in front. And you know, you don't shame a man, because you'll never probably see that man again. You know,
uh-huh.
I'll never bring that up again. Right. I will never be vulnerable like that again. And of course, about that time, Promise Keepers began, and And we had a chance to be able to start building small men's groups, and they're very powerful. As a matter of fact, some relationships today that, though that may have, many of them may have forgotten, they got those relationships with those small men's groups that we developed. Remember that we had one particular, he goes, what are you doing? Oh, it's just back there, promise keeping. And, so, we're going to have to get this thing figured out. You know, we're going to have to, you know, first of all, you don't look, a woman does not look to a man to tell her how to be a woman. She looks to women. She looks to godly women, women that have you know, gotten it or willing to give it. You know, I like what Mike Bickle just said, this of IHOP Kansas City. You know, he says, listen, if you're 25 years old and you hadn't found a spiritual father yet, be one. You know, you're probably not going to find one by this point. And sad to say is, you know, that there's 10,000 teachers, but very few fathers. The price of being a father is probably rejection, blame. I mean, you're everybody's fault.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And life would be better if you wasn't here. Well, if I wasn't here, you wouldn't be here.
Yeah, right.
And so understanding that who's willing to do that? And you do it because, first of all, it's a God thing. It's what God would want us to do. I mean, he wants us. He says before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, that he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, or else he'll smite the earth with a curse. We're going to have to recapture this thing. We can't let CBS News define and say that our men out of step, because this article ends, Pat. This article ends, you know, with talking about a man in New York, and he is a, the role in his marriage is he is the mother role, and his wife, and historically, when you look back, he's the mother role, and then she is the husband role. And he says, finally, he says, when you get married, and you can see this article, you know, you can get to it on the VFN TV blog. He says, there's an expectation that we're going to fit into a certain mold. He says, the mold of breadwinner. He says, but the direction of careers and staying at home and full time with the kids, there's a monumental change in that. And so he actually stays home with the children. He goes to the PTA meetings. He changes the diapers. He cleans the house, and he goes and meets with other fathers in Central Park. And they sit there, you know, and he's like. And this is, I'm telling you, you gotta, it's like, you know, it's not wrong for a father to be there for his children. That's what we're talking about. You should be there for your children. But understanding that you have a role to play that God created. You know, the husband is the head of the wife, like Christ is the head of the church. The father shall train the children up in the way they should go. And it's like you've totally, and this is the key word I'm really talking about, emasculation. And that means removing the masculinity from the man. And it was God that put the masculation in there in the first place, you know, the femininity for women and the masculinity for men. And it's getting so confusing now, you know, and I can understand somebody says, you know, why are you doing what you're doing? And they say, well, this particular person was more feminine than. And it's like, we got to recapture, you know, the aspect of, you know, what, because this is just the repentance. And we talk about this. We're going to talk about it probably forever until. The Lord willing, that this repentance that we got to go on as a church, it's going to be a big turn. It's going to be like an aircraft carrier that takes a mile to turn around. And part of that is it's going to start with the fathers. It's going to start with men being there for each other and getting a grid and understanding and being long-suffering and being patient and don't be so quick to write off a young man or a man who does not yet have his masculinity ingrained in him, because who would have ingrained it in him? Who would have been there? You know, the average father, you know, 25 million children are going up fatherless homes. The father that is in the home is spending an average of 12 to 13 seconds a day, 35 seconds a day of undivided attention with his child. So he's obviously very busy, but it's like, how is he going to get a grid for that? You know, how is your son going to know how to be a man? And of course, the statement, if you talk to the father in this situation, he's going to say, I myself don't feel like a man.
Right.
And because, you know, the emasculating spirit is gone across the church. you know, and the relevancy of men. You know, they say, George Bonner writes in some of his studies that men feel so out of place in the traditional setting of church, the traditional concept of sitting there and just watching and the whole same as a school, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not participate. A man wants to participate and do some things and build some things. And what do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
And so he feels very uncomfortable in what we call a church gathering,
mm-hmm.
you know. But it says, I think it was Jim Rutz writes in his book, Megashift, that men in the expression of like Vine Fellowship Network,
mm-hmm.
that men just feel naturally functional, you know, in their homes and in their when they're in small groups and they have other men that they're cooking around the grill with. And that's how men are,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's amazing how men like to grill. Okay. Right.
Yeah. And, I'm not a big fan. Yeah, but yeah.
Right.
Whatever.
Right. Go ahead. Do that rib thing again. And so, you know, that's an article right now. You can see that on the VFNTV blog at VFNTV.com. And watch that video. It will blow you away. And we have to understand repentance is going to mean this. We can't point at a gender-confused world why the church is refusing to acknowledge gender roles inside the church. You know, he says it's a shame for a husband to come in the gathering of a church when his wife is uncovered. What I believe that means is this: when the wife is ruling over the husband, when she's bossing him around, in front of the whole church, she's telling him, "Sit down, go over here, do this, go tell the kids to do that." And it's like, what role is that? Why would you talk to your husband like that?
Mm-hmm.
Has nothing to do, I don't believe, with a covering. I think more people that have something covered over their head are actually, you know. Anyway, it's just my opinion, you know. But it's like that the wife should not be over the husband. She shouldn't rule over her husband. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And not only is the Lord turning the hearts of the fathers to the children of the fathers. And I love Dr. Hamby's book, We Have Not Many Fathers. I mean, it can really give you a biblical perspective of this.
Mm-hmm.
But he talks about that, you know, how important it is to honor, you know, the father's role right there. And it's not right to rule over your husband, and it totally changes the gender makeup of your own children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to struggle in that area if you, sir, are taking the feminine role and she's taking the masculine role, mm-hmm. in regards to that. And you know, with that, you know, getting in God's order, you know, repenting about that. And it says, you know, what God tells us, that the husband's the head of the wife, like Christ is the head of the church. And we would call that more of a Jezebel spirit that's attacked that relationship, and an Ahab spirit. There is no Jezebel without an Ahab.
That's right.
Because Ahab had the true authority given from God. He was the king, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Jezebel had the seduced authority, right, which means Ahab had to give her the ring, right?
That's right.
And so you can't sit here and complain all day about Jezebel because she's got your ring,
right,
if you gave it to her.
Gave it up.
And so, you know, God's called us to be free. And so we're going to have to restructure this, because if you'll see what's happening in America today and happening in the church, you're looking at Jezebel's gods. You're looking at Jezebel and Ahab's God. You're looking at Baal worship, Asheroth. You're looking at Dagon. You're looking at all these different, you know, we don't think of them as gods,
mm-hmm.
but you look at all the pornography, the seduction, fantasy. These are how those gods are described.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the work of your hand, you know, bell worship. And we're going to have available soon, not now, but soon, on in VFNTV.com for our subscribers, zero tolerance. He says, listen, you got to have zero tolerance for that spirit,
mm-hmm.
which means there has to be order in your marriage. We're not going to have marriage. We can't complain about what's happening in the world about marriage when the church is out of order. You know, when we're out of order and there's orders, God's order to things. And if disorder produces more disorder, and there's a way to get back into that. It's not that we're perfect, but, you know, men are going to need, like that little boy climbed to my lap and he needed to lay his head on my chest. And all I had to do was just be there. I didn't say nothing. I just had to be present. I just had to be there. And he looked at me. And as a matter of fact, there's maybe a picture. If you see one of the videos there, we'll make that available maybe on the VFNTV blog today. I don't know if we can do that or not, but I'm walking back and forth on the stage, and he actually later on came when I was at, we're having that tunnel of affirmation, and all these boys are being blessed, and these fathers are blessing all these boys, and it was just an awesome time. He runs to me. He jumps up in my arms and just sticks to me like glue. So I'm carrying him on my left mm-hmm. hip, the way a mother would carry her child. And he's just stuck to me like glue. I'm just watching me and tears pouring down his face. And I'm thinking, this is God. This is awesome. So I want to encourage you that even though, you know, the newscasts and all these different people are trying to just rule out masculinity, and some people are taking masculinity that's not theirs, and some people are saying, you know, hey, you know, we can just throw out this whole concept of, you know, being a man and being a woman. And listen, everybody's confused because the church is confused. When we figure out by God's grace on how to get back to this place of our roles that God's given us, and that's when we function more fruitfully and more well. And God says this. I mean, Paul says this when he's talking, and we got to go just a moment to a break. But he says you know, and he names all these different things that are happening today, you know, and in the sexual arena and all that. But he says, such were some of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can repent. We can turn from all this stuff, and we can say, you know, God's right. God's right, and we're just going to do it, even if we look like a counterculture. We're supposed to be a counterculture. Mm-hmm. Romans 12, 2. Be not conformed to the cultures of this world, right?
All right.
Be not conformed to the patterns of the society, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we find out what God says about our roles, and then we move into it. If you've been confused, if you've been struggling with what's going on and not, listen, it's because it's in the air. It's just everywhere. It's totally everywhere. And, but that can be bound when the church, when we start getting back to our place again. So don't think you're strange. Don't let people criticize you, because you have people that are ruling over people they're not supposed to rule over. They're out of place while they're criticizing other people. That's a byproduct of what they're actually doing. Because if you get out of order, and if a wife takes on a Jezebel spirit, for example, and a husband takes on an Ahab spirit, that's a very religious spirit. It's both religious, but the Jezebel spirit is very religious. And so she will criticize her husband for being seduced into all these things, gods, and she'll actually shame him. And then she'll also criticize how her children turns out, not realizing, hello, you know, you took over the leadership of this thing, and I understand why, you know, why you would feel you wanted to, because probably he wasn't leading good or something like that. But it's not okay for us to take a role that's not ours. God, just, we pray for those in authority over us. And so I'm excited about bringing zero tolerance. There's so much to that, right?
Yeah, it's powerful. Powerful it's, teaching.
It's freeing, right? I remember one of the testimonies you may hear right after today's program. You know, one man is in his 60s. You know, he says, you know, he says, for the first time in my life, after hearing that, and this is a man that strived to serve God his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I feel like a man.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I've been a eunuch.
Yeah.
What he's saying is, I've been emasculated
mm-hmm.
my whole life. This is the first time I feel like that.
Mm.
And God will actually help us get back to this. It's not nobody can point your fingers right now because we're a mess. You know, but God is loving. He's forgiving. His truth, you know, sets us free. And so I want to encourage you, you know, check out that particular blog. Hopefully we'll get that video put up on the blog as well. You get to see the boy that I'm holding there. He's the one that actually crawled up in my lap. But when I was doing an altar call for the men, or we're doing the tunnel of affirmation, he just runs and jumps in. I'm carrying on my left. It's just a powerful, powerful time. We'll be right back.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or through the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone. That's VFNTV.com.